welcome to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show, an iHeartMedia broadcast. Our disclaimer says that the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those held by this radio station, its management staff, or any of its advertisers. My name is Laurent. I am the Texan from France, and I gotta tell you, I had a bit of a sad week. On Monday, France lost its legendary actor, Jean-Paul Belmondo. American audience know Jean-Paul Belmondo for his appearance in Breathless, the 1960 film by Jean-Luc Godard, which kickstarted the French New Wave of cinema, which swept through Hollywood and essentially gave birth to what would eventually be the 1970s films, headlined by great masterpieces like The Godfather and The Exorcist, films that were very much more realistic than what you were used to seeing coming out of American Hollywood, especially during the 1950s, when all those beautiful, shiny, colorful musicals were happening. And, well, you know, verisimilitude, believability wasn't a real big part of those films. They were really made to be entertainment. And then Jean-Luc Godard finds Jean-Paul Belmondo and puts him in his movie with Jean Seberg, the American actress. And they made a film that was so simple. Camera on the shoulder, no tripods, no dollies swooping around Fred Astaire and amazing performers dancing on stage. Instead, following two people in the street or putting the camera in the back seat and listening to them talk, sometimes improvising their dialogues and showing film as a medium that could show life as it happens. He was a great man and he meant a lot of to me personally, because as a kid, he had a huge influence, and I'll pay homage to him at the end of the show. But I also want to mention that since we just celebrated September 11th, the anniversary of the attacks on New York and Virginia by Arab terrorists, I want to showcase the bravery of a woman who was on one of those planes. We're going to do positivity here. We're going to look at these tragedies and extrapolate from them what we can be hopeful as a humanity. And before we get to that, I want to mention that on Friday, I don't know if it's a coincidence if they do this because of September 11th, but Friday was World Suicide Prevention Day. And that seems extremely appropriate because, as we know, our first responders and, of course, our soldiers, but the people who protect us are often prisoners of depression. And they get sick by what they see. It makes their innate depression even more powerful onto their psyche. And a lot of people commit suicide. So I'm going to start by giving out the number to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. That's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's a 24-hour phone bank that it will answer your call. They speak Spanish. They speak English, of course, and it's an anonymous phone call. So you can just call to ask for help, just to talk to someone. There's somebody who's going to answer and he will listen. And he can put you in touch with someone who can help you right here in town. Because, of course, making the call and asking for help is the first step when dealing with depression, which is generally the reason for suicide. It's a long road and it's tough. And we know that those people need a lot of support. So you might be someone whose son or whose husband or wife or someone close to you in your life has maybe had some suicidal thoughts, or maybe you're just worried about them because you know that they're very depressed and you yourself have fears for them. You can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline to get advice. So once again, 1-800-273-8255. And as I mentioned, we celebrated the anniversary of the terrorist attacks on New York and Virginia yesterday. It was the 20th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. And there's an organization that is doing a great job honoring those first responders, and that is the Gary Sinise Foundation. If that name rings a bell, it's because it should. Gary Sinise is literally one of the most successful and visible actors of his generation. He started his career by founding a theater, actually, the Steppenwolf Theater, and it's still going strong in Chicago. And so we're talking about a guy who's just a natural-born leader and who is interested in connecting people. And if you know him, it's almost entirely likely that it's because of Lieutenant Dan, the character he played in Forrest Gump. Great movie. If you haven't seen it in a while, let me tell you, I was really happy to see that it really holds up. It's a ton of fun. And the performance by Gary Sinise is just unforgettable. He plays a Vietnam War veteran for most of the film who has lost his legs and who has lost hope and gets very close to committing suicide. And Forrest Gump, his friend who had saved his life, is the reason why he doesn't go down. Now, this movie is a huge success when it came out. It was directed by the great Robert Zemeckis, who also gave us Back to the Future and Who Framed Roger Rabbit. What happened after Forrest Gump came out is that people, when they recognized Gary Sinise, they'd call him Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan! And that put him into contact with our armed forces. And he started working with the USO and flying to theaters of operation all over the world to entertain our troops. You know, the USO does that, of course. And he would eventually form the Lieutenant Dan Band and engaging some great musicians. This is a really good band. They're a cover band, but they're really, really good. All right. These are professionals. It's not like the guys that have been practicing for a couple of days and then play the banquet around the corner. It's not something like that. This is a real show. And they play all these free shows for veterans and first responders. They also serve meals. Just, you need to see it to believe it. It's just a wonderful organization. GarySinisFoundation.org. So for obvious reasons, he put out a beautiful video on the anniversary of 9/11, and I suggest you check it out. It's on the website. And I suggest that you might want to donate to this organization because they're really good. Their balance sheet checks out. They actually take the donations that they get and they put them at work to fund their programs. And one of the most extraordinary programs they have is that they build houses for veterans. So for instance, if someone was in Afghanistan and they stepped on an IED, an improvised bomb, and lost a limb or both of their limbs, and they're confined to a chair for the rest of their lives, knowing how difficult their challenges would be, the Gary Sinise Foundation realized that one way to help them was to help build houses that were particularly adapted to their needs. So for instance, the doorway would be wider than normal. In the kitchen, they'll place the ovens lower to the ground so that someone who is sitting in a chair can still cook. It's things like that. And they incorporate that kind of technology into the building of the house to make their lives easier. And there's a bunch of videos where you can see the families being welcomed into their new homes. You're not going to keep a dry eye. It's just such a wonderful way to help. And honestly, it's the best of the spirit of America. GarySinisFoundation.org, a worthwhile organization. You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's public affairs show. My name is Laurent, and as promised, I want to pay homage to a woman by the name of Betty Ong. She was a Chinese-American, and she died on one of the planes that was hijacked by Arab terrorists on September 11th, 2001. They hijacked the plane, flew it into the World Trade Center and murdered everybody on board and countless others in the building. We know the story, and we're not about to forget that. But we need to remember the victims, I think, by showing the strength of character that we lost. I think that that's the only way to be hopeful about this. If we can remember that correctly and shine their example on each other, we can remember what this country is great for. And Betty Ong was one of those. She was, as I said, of Chinese descent. Her parents operated a beef jerky store. And when she was a young kid, early 20s, she was held up at gunpoint and survived that. And her mom mentioned that she didn't even freak out. She stayed very calm, told her dad that the store was being robbed, and they survived the encounter. And you might say, well, that's not an example of bravery. I was like, well, I don't know. You know, if you're faced with a gun and you can keep your cool, that's good enough. Surviving is the name of the game in that case. But here's the thing. A decade later, this young woman was driving down the road on the freeway, and she saw a car get clipped and roll over a couple of times. Well, she stopped, and she helped that person. Who does that? Well, the best of us. That's what I'm saying. I think it's the best of us that do that. It's an extraordinary gift to be able to face danger like that, because stopping on the side of the road after a major accident is, especially on a freeway where people drive like maniacs, the reason for the accident, by the way, it's just wonderful that you can count that there's somebody who's going to do that. Somebody is probably going to stop and help you. And that's what Betty Ong did. And then on September 11th, 2001, she had taken up an extra job. She wasn't even supposed to be on the flight that was hijacked by terrorists. And that adds to the tragedy of her death, I think. But she was on board, and she was at the back of the plane when the monsters took action and slashed the throat of one of the passengers in first class, killed one of the flight attendants that was up in the front of the plane, and rushed into the cockpit, spraying mace all over the place. And Betty Ong was at the back of the plane, and she had the presence of mind to pick up the phone, the plane phone, obviously, and call the controllers. And it is because she was able to tell them what seat the Arab terrorists were sitting in that we were able to identify them as quickly as we did. The law enforcement is very often dependent on conscientious citizens to help them with things like this. And Betty Ong is a hero for having the courage to do that, because obviously, had they seen her do that, they would have instantly killed her. And she could feel that the plane had been turned around, and she did what she thought was right. And I honestly hope that I would have done the same thing. I think we would all hope that we would do the same thing. So the New York Post wrote a really nice article on her. You can check it out. Her name is Betty Ong, and there's more detail about how brave she was on that day and how much her family loved her and how they remember her. I am extremely grateful that I have never been tested in that way. And on the day of the attacks, I was at home, glued in front of the TV and reading the news on the internet. The internet age had really just begun. And I want to tell you how beautiful the reaction of the world was. Being French, having grown up in France, one of my reflexes is to look at the French news when something big happens internationally. I'm interested in seeing their outlook. And the French have always loved America. They really do. And it's still true today. Don't let anybody tell you that the French don't like Americans. It's not true. In fact, you're very likely to run into a French person who will tell you how their grandparents who fought in World War II or were resistance were eternally thankful to the Americans for coming in and putting an end to the war, really. That's what America did. And I will never forget the front page of Le Monde, the very famous French newspaper that is the equivalent of the New York Times. It's the newspaper that's on the left. And they didn't print any politics on that day. The first half of the newspaper were the two burning towers, a picture shot before they crumbled to the ground. And the title was, "We Are All Americans." We are all Americans. I was so moved to see that. It was precisely the right headline. And we saw echoes of that sentiment all over the world. It was instantaneous. The horror of what those terrorists had done hit us all exactly the same way. What we identified were the victims. Then, of course, there were the wars, and it got really ugly. And recently, it got ugly again in Afghanistan as the U.S. pulled out in the most catastrophic and embarrassing way I've ever seen. I have my I just have the deepest sympathy for the men and women who fought out there. They were treated, it was profoundly unfair to what they did and the comrades they lost in Afghanistan, what happened in the past weeks, and what is still going on there today. But on the day of the attacks, the world actually showed support, and that gives me hope. It's one of the real-world examples that shows that love is actually stronger than hate. It really is. But sometimes we have to remember that, and we have to make an effort to be more loving. And so I'll mention again that if you want to support first responders, if you want to support our veterans, there's a bunch of organizations that are worth supporting, that are worth donating to. And of course, if you can volunteer, that's actually the best thing you can do for nonprofit organizations. Your blood and sweat, your elbow grease, so to speak, is actually the most valuable commodity to them. But you can donate to the Gary Sinise Foundation. That's GarySinisFoundation.org. GarySinisFoundation.org. And I'm telling you, I strongly recommend that you go to their YouTube page. They're also on Instagram. It's a shot of hope. It really is. You see videos of families being taken care of. You see people helping each other. It will rekindle your faith in humanity, I promise. You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and I'm kind of lucky because I'm not a big drinker. I'm one of those people who gets tipsy pretty fast, and the truth is that I don't like being drunk in public. I don't really like being drunk around people. I feel stupid. And so I've never come close to driving drunk, but it's a huge problem in Texas. Drunk driving in Texas kills a person every 9 hours. That's the, if you average out the number of people who die in Texas, it happens every 9 hours. It's insane. And it reminds me of something that I heard Sergeant Barnes say to me when I was on a ride along. Shout out to you, Sergeant Barnes, if you're still listening to Houston, PA after all these years. I had said something nice about the Houston Police Department, and she had sent me an email to invite me to participate in a ride along. And I said, yes, you better believe I said yes. I said, yes, I'm definitely interested in doing that. It was an eye-opening experience. And because she was a sergeant at the time, she was the supervising officer that would be called out to support other officers that had made stops, for instance. And one of the stops that we went to was a drunk driver. And when we arrived, this guy was being tested. They were giving him the road test to find out if he was drunk. And believe me, it was unnecessary. This guy was clearly drunk, couldn't put his foot in front of the other. It was really pathetic and scary. And I gotta tell you, there's a part of me that doesn't quite understand why people would do that, because especially in the age of ride sharing, it's not all that hard to have a designated driver or just call yourself a cab or call yourself a car and get home. It's not even all that expensive. And I hope to be able to suggest to you that let's teach our neighbors, let's teach our kids that that's a part of the planning that needs to go into the evening. It's like you get together with your friends and you're going to go out to a bar. The conversation needs to happen. Who's going to drive us home? It's not all that bad to be a designated driver. I know, because I was often that guy. See, in college, since I didn't like to drink very much, they would just turn to me. It's like, well, Laurent, you're going to drive us home, right? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll drive you home, no problem. And I did it very often. And I've always wondered to myself, well, you know, just how drunk is it to have 0.08 blood alcohol level? That's the limit in Texas. Actually, I think it's the limit nationwide. You can't drive if your blood alcohol content is over 0.08%. And do you know what that means to you? What does it feel like to have 0.08% alcohol level? How it affects your brain. We know if we've had a couple of glasses of wine what it feels like to have a buzz, and most of us might feel some shame in being able to admit that we've had a few hangovers, right? We're young once, and we get drunk maybe more than once, and we regret it maybe more than once. I would say that I can count those times on one hand, but they hurt a whole lot, all of them, all right? And this was when I was really young, mostly house parties and where I got to crash on the bed. But man, you wake up with a bad hangover, this is a terrible thing. Anyway, so the question that I was asking myself is, what does it feel like to have that kind of blood alcohol content? Well, I bought a breathalyzer. It turns out that for me, 0.08 is not drivable. And I know that. I kind of know it. Like, you know, you can feel when you're too drunk and you're not slurring your words, but you're laughing a lot. You're laughing loud. You're talking loud. And I just felt impaired. And I was shocked at how that was still permissible for me to drive. But it was kind of a scary realization. And to get back to what Sergeant Barnes was saying, she said something I'll never forget about driving at night. 1 in 3 driver after midnight on our roads is drunk. That's the statistic that Sergeant Barnes mentioned to me. And the reason I remember is because she found a funny way to demonstrate how ridiculous that stat is. And what I mean by ridiculous, I mean that it is ridiculous that many people drive drunk. It's the reason why we lose a human being every 9 hours in Texas on average to a drunk driver, a completely preventable death. Sergeant Barnes says, if you're driving down the road and there's 2 cars in front of you, and those 2 cars aren't swerving, they look like they're being driven by someone who is sober, you might be drunk. Now, obviously, it's made to be funny, but it demonstrates what a calamity and what a serious problem this is in Texas. And it is, I think, incumbent upon us to stop our friends from driving. I've taken keys away from people. I've driven them home. You don't necessarily have to drive them home, but stop them, please. You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and I'm going to end this show on a personal note. On Monday, one of the great actors of all time, one of the greatest, one of the coolest cats around, passed away. His name was Jean-Paul Belmondo. If you're a cinephile, you're a lover of film, you might have seen him in a film called Breathless, a black and white masterpiece from 1960 that literally wiped out Hollywood as we knew it. It opened the door for the French New Waves to invade cinema and bring a far more realistic look to the medium and to show that the medium could be used to show life as it is. Back then, cinema was mostly 1950s musicals and big, colorful Hollywood production, many of which I like. This is not to denigrate them at all. But when the French New Wave came around and Jean-Luc Godard, the filmmaker behind the masterpiece, had just shouldered a camera and followed his actors around while they said their lines, giving it just such a real, visceral feeling, he changed cinema forever. And at the root of that film was Jean-Paul Belmondo. To give you an idea, Belmondo was a little bit like Tom Cruise to French people. Massive star, the most famous. They called him a sacred monster all week long. And the French gave him the highest honor you could give to someone by giving him a ceremony at the Invalides, the beautiful hospital that was built by Louis XIV and where Napoleon is buried. It is exceedingly rare to get the honors of a ceremony where the French president spoke at the Invalides. Thousands of people were able to pay homage to the actor afterwards, and then they buried him on Friday in a private ceremony. But the reason Jean-Paul Belmondo was so special and why I call him the French Tom Cruise is because, like Tom Cruise, he was capable of playing dramas, and he was also capable of doing comedy. And if you're unaware of Tom Cruise's comedy, there's a movie called Tropic Thunder in which he's very funny. And of course, Jerry Maguire was a huge hit, and that's pretty darn funny. And so is Risky Business. I mean, Tom Cruise is funny, and he's dramatically gifted, and he does all his own stunts. And if you've seen some of the most recent Mission Impossible movies, you've been blown away. Well, Jean-Paul Belmondo was doing all this during the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s. One of his most famous films is That Man from Rio, and Steven Spielberg has called it one of the inspirations for Indiana Jones. And in that film, Jean-Paul Belmondo hangs from high wires, jumps out of cars, drives like a bat out of hell, and does every single one of his own stunts. He had a brilliant career. He went on to make some of the most popular films of the 70s and 80s in France, many of which were scored by the great composer Ennio Morricone. And because I fell in love with this cartoonish character, he had a very big sense of humor, and he was a gregarious and likable man. We were all reminded of this after his passing. He just awoke a passion in me, and it led me to get to theater. And it's in theater that I learned how to go from a very introverted, very shy, bullied, skinny kid to being a very shy, skinny kid with friends and a social persona. I never would have had a career in radio without Jean-Paul Belmondo. It's just inconceivable. I was too shy, but it's because of him that I was interested in theater. My parents thankfully encouraged me to follow that, and I took a lot of classes when I was a teenager and learned how to speak publicly, a very useful skill. None of this comes to me naturally. I just had to learn how to do it. And so when I think of France and the best of French culture, very often I'll think of Jean-Paul Belmondo. And he was a nice, simple guy. Everybody liked him. You know, he didn't have a huge ego, sunglasses, talk down to the fans, not at all. He was a gregarious, nice guy. Literally in the industry, everybody liked him. And it's just such a great loss. He had a brilliant life. He was 88 years old when he died. So we're not mourning the death of a young man. It's not a tragedy, but it's a great loss. And if you've heard about how France was grieving the passing of one of their great actors, well, you know a little bit more about it now. And I think, don't we all have an artist? Maybe it's a musician, maybe it's an actor. There's somebody in our childhood who allows us to make an important turn in our development. We take inspiration, we imitate so many people to become who we are, right? Well, Jean-Paul Belmondo was that person for me. So at the end of this show, I want to give a tip of the hat au grand Bébel, the great Bébel, which was his nickname, the great Jean-Paul Belmondo. Thank you for all you've given us. And I want to invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to look him up online. There are several of his films that are streaming. Some of the best are Breathless, That Man from Rio, The Magnificent One, The Professional, and Itinerary of a Spoiled Child. And I'm going to give you this last piece of advice. If you're interested in seeing these movies, if you're interested in some of my favorites, you can send me an email. TexanFromFrance@gmail.com. I will send you a personalized list of recommendation of his films, which are available to you as an American audience. They're worth seeing. Some of them are just great masterpieces. But at the same time, the man made over 80 movies, so some of them are clunkers. You might want a guide in your journey through some of the great history of French cinema, and I'll be happy to do that for you. I want to thank you for listening and caring about the issues I put on this show. Remind you that if you want to support our first responders, our police officers, our veterans, there are many organizations around that will do that. The Houston Police Foundation, obviously, is one of them. And I spoke earlier of the Gary Sinise Foundation, founded by the great Gary Sinise, the wonderful actor that you probably know as Lieutenant Dan, and the leader of the Lieutenant Dan Band. And if you want to know what I mean by that, go check them out, GarySinisFoundation.org. You can also go to USO.org. That's our own American government organization that takes donation and hires volunteer to send care packages to all of our fighting forces around the world. They help veterans, and it's a wonderful way to meet some really good people, because believe me, the kind of people that volunteer for the USO, they're my kind of people, and if they're your kind of people, you want to meet them. My name is Laurent. I am the proud Texan from France. I'm a proud Houstonian as well. I love this country. I can't tell you how much I love this country. This week, as I mentioned, was melancholy, the passing of Jean-Paul Belmondo, and then the remembrance of all the victims of the attacks on September 11th, 2001. It was beautiful to see Americans remember our heroes. And as a reminder that this really is a bright country. It's the least racist, most open-hearted, and welcoming country in the world. I often feel like Americans don't have an appreciation for that. Sometimes they're given to forget it. Certainly, our media encourages us to forget it or to believe otherwise. Don't believe those lies. Always remember, this is a great people. It really is. The greatness completely outweighs the bad. And that is because it is the first country on our planet in the history of the species which reassembles all the great talent from all of the world. We are not a clan. We are of many clans. And it is a magnificent strength. And I'm never going to forget it. And if I was able to remind you of this today, I've done my job well. This has been Houston, PA, Houston's public affairs show, Houston Strong.